Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is still www.remnantofgod.org. If you have any questions you would like addressed on future programs, send me off an email to questions@remnantofgod.org. If you would like copies of today's broadcast or any other past programs, click the antique radios on the main page of the website and surf to the archives section from that page. You can listen online to past programs, or you can, if you prefer, you can just download the MP3s right from there. In fact, I just installed an MP3 player, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, to the website that allows you to listen to any MP3 found on the server. There are a couple of MP3s that were created in old format, so just skip over those, because you'll know when you get to those I sound like a chipmunk. But if you go to the actual page that those MP3 players are set up on, then it sounds fine. Now, let's get back to what we were doing. Right before the break, I finished up more or less regarding the High Court's decision to make it perfectly okay for your local government to take your home or even your church if they see a buck in it, you know, an opportunity to make a buck. And for those just tuning in, we already covered information about how my feelings regarding this London terrorist attack, as well as evidence supporting the fact that it was an inside job again, because the government agencies, like on September 11th in the United States of America, FEMA happened to be there the day of the accident or attack, as well as London's version of FEMA was there as well. And they're, again, calling it a bizarre coincidence. So, you do the math. Anyway, this next article, headline reads, Pope picks theme for Day of Peace. Of course, this is the new Pope, Ratzinger. Well, they call him Benedict the 16th, I guess, but it's actually Cardinal Ratzinger, the head of the Inquisition since 1991, thanks to John Paul II. Vatican City reporting June 26, 2005, Zenit organization says, in truth, peace is the theme chosen by Benedict XVI for the first World Day of Peace of his pontificate, to be observed January 1st. A statement issued Saturday by the Vatican press official explained that the Pope chose this theme because truth enlightens. It allows one to discern the path of genuine human relationships, to correct errors, to be reconciled with oneself and with others, and to be transparent in negotiations and faithful to one's word. Now, this is the most humanistic statement I've ever seen by the Vatican to date. Not once does this so-called Christian leader mention Christ, or, you know, who, by the way, is in fact the source of all true peace and the example by which to generate true global peace, not just individually, but, you know, globally speaking. Instead, he suggests, like the previous Pope so often did, that a global group hug with all the peoples of the world, regardless of their religious beliefs, is what we as humans should do. So, in essence, the Pope is suggesting all Catholics and any Christians that have been conned into joining this one-world church that they must join hands and sing kumbaya with the likes of those that actually kill Christians as a duty to their God. If you recall the article I read earlier about that Muslim cleric that stated they don't see anything wrong. They don't even separate military personnel from civilians when it comes to doing their so-called terrorist activities. My Bible is plain. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. My Bible also says in 29:11 of Psalms, The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 34:14 says, Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 37:4 says, Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Psalm 37:11, But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Psalm 37:37, Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And then Psalm 16, verse 7 says, When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And if you got time, search out the word peace in your Bibles, something this Pope did not do. You will find exactly 400 verses in the King James Bible alone that use that word. That is how you teach and reflect peaceful ways, not by joining hands with those that hate the author of peace. One would think that the Pope, a so-called Christian leader, would have used at least one of those 400 verses at his disposal to proclaim such a peace as this. And by the way, prophecy does in fact point to the fact that the beast will in fact use peace to enforce his mark and kill as many as he pleases. Okay, that's his outward appearance. Of course, his behind closed door appearances, these bombings that you see. In Daniel 8:25, we read that through his policy, speaking of the beast, he will cause craft to prosper in his hand. Deception, craft, craftiness. He shall magnify himself in his heart, just putting on that pope garb, or just putting on the garb of a priest causes a man to magnify himself in his heart. But continuing, it says, he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. So, again, not to worry. What the Pope has planned, we already have displayed before us in living color by way of Christian prophecy that is, in fact, 100% accurate. This is one of the reasons they keep on rewriting Bibles to try to hide the obvious. This is one of the reasons the Council of Valencia in the year 1229 AD, the Roman Catholic Council of Valencia, put the Bible on the index of forbidden books because it was exposing them as Antichrist. According to prophecy, the Pope's plans will come to naught, and no man on earth will cause this to occur. The Vatican has made their claim to be above the Bible and the author of that Bible. So, their fight is with him. We don't have anything to bother with here. All we can do is get our houses right and preach the truth of Christ and the gospel and the present truth for today. The three angels, well, actually all four angels' message of Revelation. So again, their fight is with Christ because they stand out against him. See, that's where they messed up. Like when Israel in the old days for David, you know, when he was a little ruddy youth. Everybody knew that God fought for Israel. That's why Goliath stepped forth and says, give me a man this day that, you know, to fight for you. He messed up. He defied the God of Israel. His fight was with him. Same thing is happening today. The Vatican is shaking his fist at the Lord, and he's about to get his just desserts. Well, the Vatican, that is, and everybody connected to it. Now, I wasn't planning on sharing this next article, but somehow it seems to fall in line here with all of this. Its headline reads, Prayer for John Paul II's Intercession. It was published by Rome's diocese, of course. This came right out of Vatican City, June 23rd, 2005, and Zenit Organization, of course, reported it. It says, the Diocese of Rome published a written prayer to implore favors through the intercession of the late Pope John Paul II. In the last phase of the process of beautification, proof will be required of a miracle attributed to Carol Wojtyła's intercession, which is John Paul II. The process of beautification, or beatification, will officially begin June 28th. So, they then proceed to share a prayer in this article that it's not only blasphemous, it is designed to glorify the office of Pope as God on earth. These men in pagan clothing have, since day one, proclaimed to be God on earth. From over 100 verified quotes that I found on my own. And now they teach their followers to actually pray to Pope John Paul as if he has some sort of, like he's some sort of a god capable of hearing them. Pray for your Catholic loved ones. Also pray for your Protestant loved ones that are being swayed into acceptance as well. Don't blame the Catholic people. Don't blame the Protestant people that are embracing Catholic theology. It's the prelates of Rome. These men aren't Christians. How can they be Christians? Like when Vigilius ascended the papal chair under the military protection of Belisarius in the year 538 AD, the man was not a Christian. He was the first pope, if you will, but he was no Christian. It was when the church became a church and state, when the Ostrogoths fell. This church is nothing more than a pagan church, worshiping Baal and all of its minions. Even the prelates of this church admit this, in fact. Out of the book, this is an essay on the development of the Christian doctrine by John Henry and Cardinal Newman. John Henry, Cardinal Newman. On page 359 of his book, You can also find it in Dr. E.D. Clark's Travels in Volume 1 on page 352. But it says this. It says, Cardinal Newman admits, now that's Roman Catholic Cardinal Newman, admits in his book that the use of temples and these dedicated to particular saints and ornamented on occasions with branches of trees, incense, lamps and candles, votive offerings on recovery from illness, holy water asylums, Christmas, Easter, Valentine's Day, Halloween, holidays and seasons, you know, seasons of devotion, use of calendars, processions, blessings of the field, sacerdotal vestments, or, you know, like the clothing that the priests and the popes wear, and the tonsure, which is like the monk, what he wears, the ring in the marriage, turning to the east, images at a, you know, whatever, in the at a later date, and the ecclesiastical chant, and even the Kyrie eleison are all of pagan origin and sanctified by their adoption into the church. People, your Christian Bibles boldly proclaim that to mix Baal worship with the worship of the Creator God is in fact a damnable offense. In Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 to 32, we read, it says, When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou not be snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, How did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. My friends, worship is simple. It does not require all this falderal. We don't need to bow down in front of statues, light candles in prayer, splash holy water about, bring trees into the home, kiss rings, or even wear them to signify that which God already sees. Like with the marriage. God knows you're married. You don't need to have a ring on your finger. All that Rome is doing is adding to the worship, as this passage warned you not to do. They're adding to the worship by mixing paganism to Christianity. And at the same time, they diminish from the worship by declaring his law invalid and not worthy of notice when they remove commandment number 2, which happens to be the one about bowing in front of statues, and change commandment number 4 and declare that now you should worship on the day of the sun, which was originally dedicated to the sun god Baal. This is one of the things that the Bible says, folks. The beast will think to change times and laws. You can look from Genesis to Revelation. You're not going to find a single verse that says God changed the seventh-day Sabbath to the first day of the week for the Christians. You're only going to find one verse in the Bible that says the beast will try to do that, and that's Daniel 7:25, which I just quoted. 1 Kings 18:21 says, Elijah came out on all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? You know, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Okay, this next article is totally off topic, but then again, it's the end result of Roman influence. Headline reads, School refuses to allow parent to see explicit sex education material. This is from the American Family Association, Donald E. Wildman reporting. He's the founder and the chairman of the American Family Association. It says, parents in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts are upset because the local school administered an explicit sex survey to sixth graders. That's 11-year-olds, people. Sixth graders. The survey solicits answers to such questions as, how old were you when you had sexual intercourse for the first time? Again, they're asking this of sixth graders, 11-year-olds. This is your tax dollars at work. And another question is, in the last time you had sexual intercourse, did you or your partner use a condom? The school committee would not allow parents to view copies of the survey because they felt parents would misinterpret the questions. I guess I did. Parent David Fisher said, in the sixth grade, these are children 11 or 12 years old. 12 if they're held back or if they, you know, they have a weird birth date, middle of the year kind of a thing. They are being asked if they have ever engaged in oral sex, when was the first time they had engaged in oral sex, which with how many other different people have they engaged in oral sex, and as well as other regular, you know, sex. And they use the same questions about sexual intercourse and whether or not they used a condom. A similar sex survey being administered to 8th graders asked students, 8th graders, of course, are 13-year-olds, asked students to identify themselves as heterosexual, gay, or lesbian, or bisexual. Incidentally, you might want to see what kind of sex ed material your children are being taught in their school. Sincerely, Don E. Wildman, founder and chairman, you know, goes on from there. By the way, this is what convinced my wife and myself to pull our children out of the schools in the Chicago area, south suburbs, over 15 years ago. I'm not talking inner city. I'm talking the south suburbs where, you know, you're supposed to have even better schools. You can literally thank Rome for all this homosexual garbage in the media today, as well as your schools. It wasn't until the massive and still massive child rapist fiasco was flooding the media did we see so much coverage on the pro-homosexual agenda. Now, thanks to the Vatican's efforts of popularizing this decadence, we now see all sorts of this garbage being pumped in our children's brains. I literally have hundreds of articles stored offline on this topic alone. But I am not seeking to start a whole new project at this time. Suffice it to say, the public school system was designed by Satan himself. He uses the governing officials with childlike ease for obvious reasons. Proverbs 22:6 says, "We should train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Satan understands biblical jurisprudence far better than we do, and he knows how powerful his influence is on the youth. From an early age, terms like goody two-shoes, chicken, or even you want to be cool, they're put there strategically by Satan to ensure entrapment of the young. Fact is, we don't hear those terms as adults, do we? And even if we did, we would be cried to our mommies in the hopes she can tell us on how to be liked by the other kids at school. You know how cruel children can be. We all know how cruel children can be. Adults don't tease each other. Well, I mean, they do it in different ways, maybe, but you know what I mean. The enemy knows that if you can get your hands on the young, you have a clean slate to work with. Children are naive and innocent, as well as trusting. You can manipulate them with great ease so as to ensure the outcome you desire. If you want a loving adult and that is kind and considerate, you treat the child in this manner. And you treat your wife or your husband in that manner, too, because children learn by example. If you want an adult that is easy to sway, sees no wrong in sex, drugs, or rock and roll, well, then, of course, you train them accordingly. That's what the public school systems and private school systems now have to offer. By the way, would you like evidence the Vatican is behind the sexual movement, this homosexual movement, especially when it, you know, in today's world? Here's a few facts for you to investigate that will help you confirm this. Prophecy predicts this beast, this Vatican beast, to be a homosexual in nature. Daniel chapter 11, verse 37 says, "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women." Historic fact is, the majority of priests are homosexual. It has been reported, and I have the documentation online in my February 2000 Truth Provided newsletter, that Roman Catholic priests are dying of AIDS 11 times greater than any other group in America. It has also been found that the Vatican sports the largest known organized group of homosexual men. It's also been found that the Vatican sports the largest known organized group of child molesters. It has been discovered recently that the Vatican owns most of the real estate in San Francisco. Now, don't quote me on this, but I do recall reading some years back that it was upwards of 60 or even 80% of the real estate in that city is owned by the Catholic Church. If you have any rock-hard statistics on this, please email me on this. Now, I'm not sure I don't need to remind you why I mentioned San Francisco. For those that are unaware, it happens to be the homosexual capital of the world. So wherever the foot of the Vatican is, of course, the decadence is going to spread from there. The Roman Catholic Church also holds rock concerts in churches in Canada, where the leading pedophile advocate, Gerald Hannon, is not only allowed to speak to the gathered crowds, he is also applauded separately by all those in attendance for his pro-pedophilic views. And then finally, and it's just not the end by any stretch of the imagination, just for the sake of time, The Roman Catholic Church has also pushed for laws to help lower the penalties, allow pedophiles early prison releases, and even cause judges to be gagged so as to not speak of any lawsuits against them for child rape. Why? Well, of course they're going to want the penalties lowered, and they're going to want the pedophiles out on early release because their priests are being sued and thrown in jail. You know, so they want the penalties lowered so the church doesn't have to deal with it, and they want the church and they want their priests back on the altar quicker, so get them out of the jails quicker. So yes, the Roman Catholic Vatican is in fact a church run by homosexual men. And seeing how the majority of both Congress and the Senate are either Catholic or share Catholic ties, one must assume that all that rolls downhill from there would be the same. In short, it's going to get worse before it gets better. You don't need to have a brain the size of Brainiac to figure this one out. I mean, why would the smallest minority on the planet, which is the homosexual realm, have such strong abilities in political clout? Well, is it not already been proven that the majority of the Congress and the majority of the Senate are Roman Catholic, if not Catholic sympathizers? I mean, come on, just put two and two together. If the Vatican has so much problems with homosexualities, don't you think it common sense to try to do everything they can to shut the people up, especially Christians, regarding the dangers of this lifestyle? Why do you think in Canada it's against the law if you have a Bible in your hands, you walk up to a homosexual with a Bible in your hand, and you try to share with them, in love, mind you, that their lifestyle is just a greasy slide to hell? If you try to, you know, inform them of this using a Bible, that homosexual can have you thrown in jail for 5 years. That bill has been passed. I mean, look what happened in Philadelphia. When the Pink Angels, a group of homosexuals, came up with megaphones shouting vulgarities and all sorts of obscenities and stuff like that to the Christians that were protesting the homosexual lifestyle, and the police arrested the Christians and threw them in jail. And now they're dealing with all these lawsuits and court costs and what have you. Someone with power is involved here. Just looking at the numbers is all you really need to see. So keep that in prayer. All right, I don't think I'll be able to get this next article out there. Maybe next week I'll do this next one. I do have an email I'd like to share with you in the closing minutes of the broadcast. This email comes from a man or a woman by the name of Lobby. It's just Lobby. They sent me an email the other day saying, I looked through your page over, looked your website over for an email address, and I guess that this is it. I mean, the contact us page is what he's talking about, I guess. I was wanting to know how the letter I equals 10, and then the letter I again equals number 1, because you have them both on the 666 Pope page of yours. Note that I'm not bashing, just inquiring, as I wanted to check out George Walker Bush and Vladimir Putin, and I needed to know if this was right or an error. And because a lot of people are out there saying that Putin or Bush, are their names equal 666. Well, that might be, but are they a church and state? Did they kill 500 million Christians? I mean, you got to look at all the prophecies, and if they all don't point to them, then he can't be Antichrist. The reason the letter I equals 1 in one definition and it equals 10 in another definition is because using the method of gematria, which is an ancient method of placing numeric values on letters, Latin gives the value of 1 for the letter I. And then later on in that page, I start using Greek terms for the Vatican's office. And Greek gives a value of 10 for the letter I. So each name on that page has an announcement as to whether it's Greek or whether it's Latin in origin. There's, I think, about 13 or 14 different titles to the office of Pope. And each title, when you spell it out and then add what each letter equals, they all equal 666, which as well does the word, the name Titan. I believe Titan is Greek for Satan. And Titan equals 666 as well. So for the Vatican to share that value alone with the devil, that's pretty bad. So anyway, that's it for this week, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this broadcast. Please try to catch us again next week. If you are unable to catch the program as it is aired, simply go to www.remnantofgod.org, click on the Antique Radios on the main page. That will bring you to the archives of this program. as well as all the past programs. You can listen online or download MP3s at your leisure. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministries saying, until next time, I pray the Lord blesses you and yours with a desire to be the Christian He created you to be. Thank you for listening, and remember, the truth is provided in the Word of God. God bless.